Morning, birds.
Hey.
That sounds a signs of life out there.
Yeah, all right.
I'd like to be on that one right now. Having a smoked almond. Soon enough. I hear some other stuff going on out there. I hear some sirens. People just... All right. That's the airline commercial is over. All right, there we go. I mean, we're feeling pretty good. It's the 21st century. You know, modern healthcare. Trying to be careful. Trying to do what they tell us to do. Wasn't always that way, birds. Oh, no. A long time ago, you know, people just... they just kind of come around every once in a while and... Just collect bodies. You know?
Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!
Here's one.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead. Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not. He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulations.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby.
I can't take him.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favour.
I can't.
Well, can you hang around a couple of minutes? He won't be long.
No, I've got to go to Robinson's. They've lost 9 today.
Well, when's your next run?
Thursday.
I think I'll go for a walk.
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look. Isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy! I feel happy!
Ah, thanks very much. Touch all. See you on Thursday.
Right!
Thank you.
Life During Wartime. Talking Heads music as we kick it off on a Tuesday here. I think today's theme is Bad Taste. It's Bad Taste Tuesday from Chicago on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show on Bleat.network. And hello, welcome in. Thanks for hanging out with us. Well, geez, I don't know where to start today. I have my own doctor to see, Dr. Paul. I'll be visiting him later today. And if they tell me to stay there at the hospital, I will. No, they're going to send me back. My nurse is popping over. We have a weekly nurse. Hopefully I'm going to get this thing out of my arm. And, yeah, and you know what? I actually pay attention to what they tell me. So, yeah. It doesn't always go that way in the world of health. It's 7 after the hour. President Trump, remember him? Again, downplayed the deadly threat of the coronavirus with remarks that medical professionals called dangerous and utterly irresponsible. I was, I don't know what to make of this. I was talking to Doug, California Doug, last night. I had the pick line going. I'm trying to figure that out. And in the middle of all that, he read me the breaking news that the Trumpsies had announced that now, because Biden didn't have the coronavirus, that Trump knew something that the rest of us didn't. So I didn't even look at that. So those are some of the semi headlines. Don't be afraid of COVID, said Trump. Secret Service has a new question. We'll get to this. I'm going to scream loud and long about this. Who's going to protect Secret Service agents from Trump? And I told you this. I hate to hear myself saying that. I'm turning into a crank on the radio. I told you that before the election, the White House would get ready to tell you, hey, surprise, we have a working vaccine. Remember, I did mention that. Well, looks like they were going to try to roll one out for you. But that, not so fast. It's a little bit of interdepartmental warfare going on over there between the FDA and the White House. So, all right, here we go. It's from the New York Times today. President Trump returning to the White House on Monday night, staging a defiant made-for-TV moment in which he ripped off his mask and then urged the nation to put aside the risks of the deadly coronavirus that has swept through his own staff. Just hours after his press secretary and two more aides tested positive, making the White House the leading coronavirus hotspot in the nation's capital. Trump again dismissed the pandemic that has killed more than 210,000 people in the United States, telling Americans, don't be afraid of it, and saying that he felt, quote, better than 20 years ago. Let me tell you what's going on there. Trump is on steroids. Yes, of course he's feeling good. The Adderall, I don't know if he's still taking that, but he's absolutely on steroids. The words and visuals were the only the latest ways in which Trump has undermined public health experts trying to persuade Americans to take the pandemic seriously. President's comments drew outrage from scientists, ethicists, doctors, as well as from people whose relatives and friends were among the more than 210,000 people who died. Harold Schmidt, who's an assistant professor of medical ethics and health at the University of Pennsylvania, said, I am struggling for words. This is crazy. It is utterly irresponsible. And, you know, how about last word from this woman? And our thoughts are with her, Fiona Garza Tulip. She lives in Brooklyn. Her mother died because of the virus. She wrote in a text message that she was reeling after reading Trump's tweet, which she described as a slap in the face and a painful reminder that our president is unfit for office and that he does not care about human life. President's dismissal of a virus that in recent weeks has been killing 700 people a day set up alarm bells among health specialists who worried that it would send the wrong message to the public. I don't know what to make of this. Is there anybody that is, are they going to change their minds? Is my question. I said, we like to be right on the air, and I hope that I'm wrong about this, but it doesn't look like it. I said a couple of months ago that the next thing in the Trump playbook would be to, right before the election, and we're within a month now, come out and say, hey, we've got a vaccine. Well, I think they were going to try to do that. Only what happened is that, let me just get the right thing here. Top White House officials now blocking strict new federal guidelines for the emergency release of the coronavirus vaccine, objecting to the provision that would almost certainly guarantee that no vaccine could be authorized before the election on November 3rd. That's a little convoluted. They're saying that there's just no way you're going to put a vaccine in front of people that has been tested and checked out and ready to roll in the next few weeks here. Facing a White House blockade, the Food and Drug Administration seeking other avenues to ensure that vaccines meet the guidelines. Isn't that a shame? The FDA has to do an end run around the White House to make sure that we have a safe vaccine coming this way. The public must have full faith in the scientific process and the rigor of the FDA's regulatory oversight if we were to end the pandemic, the biotech industry's trade publication pleaded. Pleading with President Trump's health secretary, his name is Alex Azar. So let me just respond to all that. You know what? 13 after the hour. We're going to look today. I've got all kinds of things to check in. We're going to do a little history. Have presidents ever been sick before? Well, yes, they have, and we're going to talk about that through history. I have some Julie London music. We're going to play some cool vocal jazz here. I am going to mail my ballot. I got to talk about that. I'm looking. Oh my goodness, it's still here. But before we do any of that, road trip.
See somewhere waiting for me. My lover stands on golden sands and watches the ship that goes sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond a star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt my shore, we'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go
mama. Like what day of week we all had to talk like Bobby Darin. I know. Well, maybe every 2 weeks. It's 16 after the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Bleed.network. It's Gary Lee Wright. Love to hear from you. You can do it easily on a, you do like email. We've got radioanything@gmail.com. Always there, and we like to read it. And I'm getting some, we've got some toll-free messages that I'll play, but I missed my own birthday. Anyway, I saw we got some nice calls. I'll play those. 844-220-3300. Doesn't have to be about my birthday, preferably something else. We'll get your voice on the show. That would be Trey Cool today. So, coming up some stuff today. Tomorrow, I'm very intrigued. We're going to talk to Emily. Emily, the Enneagram woman. We're going to talk about Enneagrams. Not sure that you know what those are. It's a fascinating thing. A little bit into it. Sparks a little bit into it. So we'll get into it tomorrow. That's happening. And then Friday, we have a personal trainer. I know. I'm stiff. I could use some exercise here. So, you know what? I love history, and it just seems to me like it's history is never far from us. It's just hard to escape the past. And let's just say that you were living almost any time in history, and the president of the United States was, you know what I mean. Well, George Washington. This I didn't even know. 2 months into his first year in office, Washington had a surgical procedure for a tumor that had required him to sleep on his right side for 6 weeks. Oh, I know. In his second year in office, Washington came down with a severe case of influenza that threatened his sight and hearing. In total, Washington had, Lord, 8 other ailments while in office. Diphtheria, tuberculosis, smallpox, epiglottis malaria, dysentery, quinsy, and a carbuncle. I don't even, what is it? Anybody? Carbuncle?
Oh.
No, I know, well, it couldn't, I, that's what I, it couldn't have been fun to have that. Washington eventually died of a throat infection at age 67, so... all right. That was George Washington. We talked about this fella here, my fellow Hoosier, William Henry Harrison, who was the 9th president of the United States. He gave the longest inauguration speech to date, 8,000 words, 90 minutes, on a wet, cold day in 1841. He contracted... I know, pneumonia. He did, on Inauguration Day. His health rapidly deteriorated in the weeks that followed, and he died 33 days into his presidency. He became our shortest-serving president. That was William Henry Harrison. And then we get to the 12th president of the United States, Zachary Taylor, 1850, on a scorching... Now we got a hot day, all right? Scorching day, Taylor attended the 4th of July festivities. For most of the day, Taylor walked along the river. Then he walked back to the White House. When he got back, he drank iced milk and water and consumed a large amount of cherries. This, again, we're talking about partying hardy in 1850. Iced milk, water, and a huge bowl of... of cherries. Well, apparently not a good snack. He developed a cholera, which caused gastroenteritis. That's an inflammation of the lining of the intestine. He died. Darn it. All right. No iced cherries for you. Now this I remember, and I believe that Aaron the News Baron and I were talking about this. This is Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland was the one guy that served two non-consecutive terms in office. He was the, I think it was the 22nd and the 24th president. Well, nobody knew this. But back in 1893, Grover Cleveland discovered a tumor on the roof of his mouth. He needed to have surgery. Again, we're talking 1893, a surgery to remove that. And in order to avoid attention from the press, get this, he had six of the nation's finest physicians board his friend's yacht in New York Harbor. They performed the surgery in under 90 minutes while the boat was moving. Oh, I know. Oh, that's right. You know, they had to anesthetize the surgeons. They used ether. They removed the tumor along with about five teeth, part of the guy's upper jawbone. And I know, this doesn't say it here, they replaced that with a hunk of vulcanized rubber. You know what they, like, they make tires out of? So, yeah, that happened. That brings us to William McKinley, the 25th president. McKinley was he got sick after they shot him, so that kind of counts. I want to go back to the other person that was assassinated in the 19th century was James Garfield, and the deal was that I won't put a gunshot on the air to illustrate. How about a little pop? They shot him a couple of times, and the bullet actually just passed in a relatively safe thing. It missed the organs, but because it was back in 1881, the doctors came in and started probing. They shoved like a pencil. Shoved like a pencil in to see the path of the bullet, and they stuck their fingers in. Nobody had any gloves on. They didn't know what microbes were. And he died of sepsis. So he was literally killed by his own doctors, and that happened. Well, that happened before McKinley. All right, we get to Warren Harding. Now, Harding was elected in the first election in 1920 after women were finally granted the right to vote. Yes. He was elected, and they said he was really good looking. If you've ever seen a picture of him, I'd dispute that, but I'm a guy. Anyway, he lived with many mental disorders. He spent time in a sanitarium to recover from fatigue and nervous illnesses. Yeah. How about if you found out, right? Remember what they did to Thomas Eagleton? We found out one of these candidates had been in an institution. Anyway, during his presidency, he was overwhelmed by having to make decisions and by the magnitude of his responsibilities. His mental health took a serious toll on his physical health. That was actually the most corrupt administration we had until Trump. Yeah, you've heard of the Teapot Dome scandal? That's right. Things sort of closed in on him. And he gained an excessive amount of weight, started experiencing insomnia and exhaustion. He finally died. And some people said that his wife had poisoned him. Well, I know it's a good urban conspiracy theory. He had a really public affair with a woman and had actually fathered a child by her who looked just like him. Anyway, the word was after he died in office and had this weird stomach thing. So somebody said it was his wife, but we don't want to, we don't want to add to, urban legends that are that. Okay, because it's bad enough when you're in that situation. George W. Bush, in our own lifetime, 43rd president, had two polyps discovered during exams and had a series of colonoscopies. He invoked the 25th Amendment twice. We talked about this yesterday. The first was prior to going under anesthesia for a colonoscopy. He briefly made Dick Cheney the acting president. And he felt well enough afterwards to play with his dogs. What? He was on steroids, too. Come on! No, I'm sure he was just, getting up out of bed there. He also invoked the 25th Amendment with Dick Cheney. This is that thing where you basically temporarily or permanently, or at some assembly, you cede power. So that's the... That is the 25th Amendment, which I'm going to read. I am going to read at some point in its entirety. I know I am. We're going to try to do our best. We want to see what the next thing is going on. So that's the deal. That's the history of the history of sick presidents through the years. And here's one that we hope never gets sick.
Polls at 65% of Americans think the president bears some responsibility for contracting this virus. Do you agree?
Look, anybody who contracts the virus by essentially saying masks don't matter, social distancing doesn't matter, I think is responsible for what happens to them. If these people took off their masks, and they all have them on, I notice, and just all of a sudden got in a gaggle and started talking to one another, well, they're taking responsibility that, in fact, they should be held responsible for. Because every major scientist and doctor and immunologist has said that's a very dangerous thing to do. The particles and droplets can stay in the air for a long time, longer than they thought. It can go beyond 10 feet. There's all kinds of things they've learned and know. And I view wearing this mask not so much protecting me, but as a patriotic responsibility. All the tough guys say, I'm not wearing a mask, I'm not afraid. Well, be afraid for your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your neighbor, your coworker. That's who you're protecting having this mask on, and it should be viewed as a patriotic duty.
46, bring him on. I'm voting for him today. Ladies and gentlemen, Julie London.
When marimba rhythms start to play, dance with me, make me sway. Like the lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more. Like a flower bending in the breeze, bend with me, sway with ease. When we dance, you have a way with me. Stay with me, sway with me. Other dancers may be on the floor, dear, but my eyes will see only you. Only you have that magic technique. When we sway, I grow weak. I can hear the sound of violins long before it begins. Make me thrill as only you know how. Sway me smooth, sway me now. Other dancers may be on the floor, dear, but my eyes will see only you. Only you have that magic technique. When we sway, I grow weak. I can hear the sound of violins long before it begins. Make me thrill as only you know how. Sway me smooth, sway me now.
You know her, Julie London. Julie passed away, and I just looked it up, 2000. She was an actor, a singer, of course, and kind of associated with, you know, what we call vocal jazz. It's kind of an inside baseball thought, but anyway, thought to be just an incredible talent and a pinup model. I didn't. She was quite pretty. Anyway, Julie London. It's called Sway. It's 9:30 on the nose here. Pandemic Pirate Radio from Bleat.network. And we will continue to do our thing here in the morning. And you know what? I I'm going to be honest. I just teared up during a record the other day. What? It occurred to me that we are going to be out of this. We are. I hate to put a number. Are we half done? We're almost done with this year. We'll be done. We'll be out of this. Those of us that are alive will do good things, and we're hanging in there. So I thought I'd take a breath on that optimistic thought. So I do need to mail my ballot. I'm busting myself here. You heard me fill out the ballot on the air. I did that on Sunday. Then I just made sure that it was that I'd not booted it, and I went over and made sure that there wasn't any whiteout, and I'd accidentally write in somebody that I didn't want to vote for. And I put it in the envelope here, and it is I'm talking about Chicago. I voted in Chicago many times. It's the same ballot that you go into a voting place in Chicago, and it's two pieces of kind of thick paper, and they are, looks like about 8 by, I don't know, about 15. It's a large thing. Anyway, they put that in Chicago. I'm telling some of you that may not have voted before. You go in, this is not to vote by mail, but you get the same ballot. You go in, and you go behind a kind of a little screen thing, and, you get some privacy so nobody can read your handwriting. And you fill out this ballot, which is just, it's like a, what do you call it, like an SAT test with the little, little circles that you fill in with your pencil or pen, whatever. No whiteout, no whiteout. And then you go up and you give it to the precinct workers. I should make a note about that. We have Republican and election, Republican and Democrat election judges in Chicago, and there aren't a lot of Republicans that vote. So I'll say one good thing. All right, I say one good thing. We've got people that, no matter what their party affiliations are, they get up and they work the election. So anyway, you got this ballot, and you go over and you turn it in, and then they put it into something that looks a little bit like a paper shredder, and it goes through, and it'll tell you whether you've undervoted or overvoted. Now, you can, I think this election, you can undervote, meaning that you don't have to fill in every office. As I said, there are, let's see, it's two-sided, so 4 pages, a lot of stuff here. I took the time to, actually, I went to the Chicago Bar Association's website and looked at their recommendation for judges. I don't think you have to do that. If I had let any of that stuff blank, I would have been undervoting. And they'll tell you, at least they have in recent years when I've been out to vote, they say, oh, yeah, undervoted, but it's okay. Now, overvoting, that is a bell ringer. Overvoting is when you filled out, well, I don't know who I want. I'm Dick Durbin and Willie Wilson. No, that is overvoting. They will kick your ballot out. All right. So that's about that. So anyway, I have now got the ballot. I'm telling the story on myself because then after I put this all together, it sat on my dining room table and I haven't mailed it yet. And I bring that up to tell you that, we are all. I hope celebrating democracy and talking about our, the right to vote and the opportunity to vote. Fact is, voting is a pain in the butt. It takes time, it takes energy, it is. And I'm telling you that no reason that I shouldn't have. I wasn't down where this ballot goes in the last couple of days. So, I'm lecturing myself. I'm nagging myself that we got to keep following through. So it's not enough to say I'm registered or I got a grip on who I want. I'm asking you to follow through. Okay. I will, if you will. Oh, jeez. This used to be such an entertaining show.
I'm doing you tell those lies? Look at me in the eye, living a double life. Tell me, how do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night?
How do you sleep at night? Get your Trump songs and your Trump jokes and your Trump everything. Get it out. Let's get it done because we're done. We're almost done. We are almost done. We are almost done. It's 21 before the hour. It's Tuesday. This is the 6th of October. Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. Pandemic will reach an end. Hopefully Pirate Radio will continue. Maybe not with pirates, but with radio. And we will tell the story. We will tell the story of this year. I got a note from California Doug yesterday, Doug Suley. He and I were talking, as I said, on the phone when we got the breaking news that in some way having a COVID was now, a qualification. And he sent me this note. I'm going to read this. This is worth sharing. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away on Rosh Hashanah. That, of course, is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, which is 5781. Now, I did not know this. When a Jew passes on the New Year, they are said to be Zadik. Three different ways to spell that. T-Z-A-D-I-K, Z-A-D-I-K, S-A-D-I-Q, Zadik. It means the righteous one. In classic Jewish thought, there are various definitions of a Zadik. According to Maimonides, the meaning is one whose merit surpasses his iniquity. Gee, that, wait a minute, that is worth repeating. One whose merit surpasses his iniquity is a tzaddik. Ginsburg dictated her dying wish to her granddaughter, saying, my most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed. What happened then? Well, that's when they adjourned to an event with over 150 people on the lawn of the White House. And it looks like it's not technically a super spreader event, but that's what happened there. So, one day after her body lay in state, the first woman and the first Jew ever to receive that honor, 150 people on the lawn of the White House in order to announce her successor. But not so fast. I don't think it's going to happen. We'll monitor the events. Anyway, something to say about Justice Ginsburg. It's 19 before the hour in Chicago. It is a fairly nice day. I'm looking outside. We've got some sun. It's a time of year when you got to get outside a little bit. We're looking at some of the things that are going on. Sparks and I have been discussing things people have become cautious of during the pandemic. This is Sparks' list. Our health, groceries. I know. Do you hose off your groceries? I do. I think most people that are doing that, or we're assuming that. God, I don't know, but that it's all cool as long as it's wrapped in plastic. We're cautious, okay. We're certainly cautious of paper money. I remember thinking at the beginning of this little movie that we're all in, it used to be the two dirtiest things. One was, let's see here. One was the human mouth. They used to say that if you people that like their dogs, you know, they're kissing their dogs. Don't put your tongue in Rover's mouth. A dog's mouth was theoretically cleaner than a human being's mouth. I don't know whether that's true, and I don't have a dog to kiss. But the other thing was that the far dirtier thing was paper money. Oh, man. Well, of course, because it's handled all day long. Remember before we started wearing rubber gloves and masks and the bomb squad outfits? We actually, most of us just had nothing on our hands but perspiration. So that money just gets handled and handled and handled and handled and handled. And that was the dirtiest thing anywhere. That, I think, the other thing that I remember, that and the parts of a hotel room that they don't change. And if you stayed in like a motel, you go in, they do a great job on the sheets and the towels and the washcloths, and they make sure it's unlimited soap. That's why I try to stay with the places that have the perks. But what they don't change is that comforter, that lays on the bed. And I saw it was a sequence. This is pretty horrifying. They exposed one of those rooms to ultraviolet light so you could see the germs, because you couldn't, you assumed, that it was clean, but no, not so fast, man. That was the worst thing. After I did that, after I saw that, the first thing I did, I go to a motel room, is take that comforter off the bed and stick it. That's right. Stick it somewhere else. It's just not a clean thing. So, I think, though, this is all a fairly positive thing. This idea of washing your hands. Well, when was that ever a bad idea? The covering your mouth when you sneeze, cover your mouth. All right. When was that ever a bad idea? So I think some of the things that we're doing now that we've been motivated into doing, those of us that are paying attention, it's going to keep us safer. So, let's see here. What else are people cautious of? Going over to people's houses, that's for sure. I don't know how to deal with that. By the way, leave me a toll-free voicemail, 844-220-3300. What, if any, I'm sure there have been some, what kinds of, steps are different? Seeing people, loved ones, for example. Family parties, did you cancel them? Did everybody show up with a mask? How's that working? I have no idea. I'd like to know. I'd like to know how you're dealing with that. So please, that's a good one. If it's a short comment, easily done at radioanything@gmail.com. Send me a voicemail, just attach it, or toll free. It's 844-220-3300. All right. And if you'll do that, I'll stop playing these annoying sound effects. I will. I will. I know I'm going to stop it. All right. Stop it now. Okay. We got enough of that in real life. Let's see here. You know what else I was going to get to today is a list that Sparks has been developing for us. She selected digital gift ideas, and I think that I almost need a theme for this. Hang on a second. Can I punt? Hang on. I need a theme for something called the virtual life. Let me see if I can find the virtual life. Virtual life underwater. All right. What's the virtual life? It's all this stuff that we can't do in real life anymore. The list here, virtual flowers. I'm going to get into this more. There's a way to email virtual flowers. You can choose your flower type or floral arrangement and add a personal message. Flowers will stay alive as opposed to gifting actual flowers. I got to find, what is that? We'll investigate that more. A group e-card is a virtual card. Boy, I am under the. Apparently, I'm somebody's list. I get so many. Would you like to sign this one for Ed? I don't know Ed. Well, sign it anyway. Anyway, there are lots of opportunities to do group e-cards. This sounds good to me. A language course, help the recipient learn a new language. I think we're going to kick that one around. I'd like to think that we all speak more than one language. I don't, but I'd like to. That might be an interesting thing to do. And again, we're looking for, you know, ways to use our time these days efficiently. So you could help the recipient learn a new language. You're going to dip into that. You can send the recipient. You can send the recipient a virtual hug.
Or something.
Don't squeeze it too hard. And how about this? All right, this one we're in an area here. Audiobooks. I have an audiobook. By the way, there's a free taste of my audiobook. I'm throwing out all this stuff here, if you care. That will be coming, and there's a free taste of the electronic book, which is already in existence. Let's see here. Meal delivery kits can be an easy way to gift meals to your friends. Meal kits usually come with an easy-to-follow recipe. It's a way, hopefully, they can cook the next meal that you have together. All right, that's a cool thing. I like that. Let's see here. Adobe Creative Membership. We have a bunch of Adobe products here, and that would be Photoshop and Illustrator and Audition. You can pick specific apps from Adobe and send those. By and large, I think Adobe makes good stuff here. The Virtual Gym Membership. You log in remotely. We're going to be investigating this whole notion of training in a pandemic. Let's see, the Celebrity Shout Out. Wait a minute, it's a site where you can pay celebrities to send personal messages and greetings. Oh, yeah? Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait a minute. I got to think about that. You're waiting for a sound. No, I don't have one here. I don't even, let's think what that would be. All right. Something like, I don't know who that was. And then the virtual gift card, I like this. And the last thing that I this isn't thoroughly virtual, but my granddaughter has a birthday. I think it's tomorrow. And she's 5, and I was trying to figure out, how to kind of do, I haven't, in full disclosure, I haven't seen her. She lives in Iowa. I was trying to think, kind of what to do. Something between, what I would normally want to do for my 5-year-old granddaughter and the era when we're not actually supposed to be doing anything or sending things or whatever. So I was trying to think of this, and I wound up getting her a subscription to a monthly thing that they call a crate. And the choices were, like food of the month. I'm thinking, no. But anyway, this was a science thing where every month they give them a little science thing. I thought that was a good choice. So monthly, they get a little science thing. I know that's not virtual, but I know this will shock you. I'm not a big online purchaser. I'm not really a big purchaser, but I did spend some time just looking up stuff like that. What do you send to a kid? And that intrigued me. So that's coming her way. I'd like one of those myself. That's the other thing I realized when I'm ordering toys for other people, how much I miss the stuff I played with when I was a kid. wash me down. It's time for a shower. I wonder how things are going in Washington. Anybody? Do we have sound? We have sound from the White House? What's going on there? They're doing what?
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Yeah. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment. Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulations.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby. I can't take him.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favour.
I can't.
Well, can you hang around a couple of minutes? He won't be long.
No, I've got to go to Robinson's. They've lost 9 today.
Well, when's your next run?
Thursday.
You think I'll go for a walk?
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look, isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy. I feel happy.
Thanks very much.
Oh,
see you on Thursday.
Right.
Oh, this live cast was produced and apologized for by Natasha Rodriguez in Chicago. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. Say, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself.